This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Gloria, we really ought to run now. Running for the Stanley Cup, yeah. We gotta get it somehow. We're never gonna slow down.
Welcome back, Hollywood Casino Press Box, 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. I can't get enough.
What's this?
Of Gloria, any version.
This is Gloria. This is an acoustic version of
the
Gloria.
Italian
just
version.
Just wait for the 8-year-old background singers.
The okay. Asian version. I like all of them.
The guy in basement Gloria.
It's pretty good, though.
Here they come. Here they come.
Hold on.
Gloria, Gloria,
what?
Oh, no. It's custom. I like
oh,
it.
No.
This is so bad.
I love it. This is the entire song. We do have Andy
good.
Strickland waiting on the phone line. Strick, oh. What's up, buddy? Do you like this cut?
Do I like what?
Did Strick hang up?
This cut, this song, this track.
I'll be calling it a cut?
Yeah, man. That's what the kids call it these days.
It's a cut.
Well,
you know, I actually know those people. And they're not really related to my wife, but they might be. I don't know. Like in some, you know, second, third, fourth generation, we tend to see them at some family events, and I've heard them sing in the past. They're a musical family. They love the blues, and it's good to see them getting some recognition. They didn't really get real recognition until they got played on your show, so I appreciate you doing that.
That's awesome. So, Strick, give us just general thoughts last night on Game 5.
General thoughts were that the Blues came out and they weathered the storm in the first period, and in a game like that, when you know Boston, who's loaded with talent, guys, we know how good they are with the puck, the players in the back end who bring some mobility and how they can play. And obviously the energy in the building having Zdeno Chara play. You knew the Blues needed to come out, and they needed their goaltender to be their best player, at least in the first period, and that was definitely the case. I mean, you know, Jordan Binnington was unbelievable in the first. And, you know, I give the Blues a lot of credit. Basically the way they've been playing for much of the series, almost the entire playoffs as well, is that they're not giving up a lot of grade A chances, a lot of high danger chances. The second and third opportunities aren't necessarily there. When pucks are trickling through the legs and laying behind Jordan Binnington, the Blues are the first player to get there. We saw that with Carl Gunnarsson in yesterday's game. So again, he's making saves, but he's seeing the puck. And you're not seeing a lot of the odd man rushes. I think they had a 2-on-1 there with McAvoy, who missed the net last night. You're not seeing breakaways. You know, Jordan Binnington has proved all along since he became a starter in the National Hockey League that, you know, if he can see the puck, he's going to be able to make the save. And he's going to give his team a chance to win virtually every single game. He continues to do that. He was their best player last night and certainly in prime position to maybe even win the Conn Smythe if the Blues can finish this thing out on Sunday.
So, Strick, Bruce Cassidy last night, he called the tripping call egregious. He said they effing blew one in his postgame. How much should Boston be able to complain last night about that non-call and how it impacted the game?
Well, look, every call is different, just like every game takes on a different life of its own. I mean, it's all about how you handle it. I mean, you look at how the Blues handled it in the previous round against San Jose. They were able to turn the page quickly, and they benefited from that. They didn't lose another game in the series against San Jose. So that all, you know, tells you all you need to know in terms of the impact Craig Berube has on this roster. The player's willingness to listen to what he says and his leadership ability. And then it trickles down to the other leaders inside the dressing room with guys like Jay Bouwmeester and Alexander Steen, who kind of lead the charge, along with Ryan O'Reilly and Alex Pietrangelo. I mean, these guys obviously take care of the room, but they've got a great leader there in Craig Berube who gets their mind in the right place, right? Their mind and their head is in the right spot. And so that's the challenge for Boston. I don't blame them for being upset. It was a terrible non-call. We all know that, just like it was in the previous round in the hand pass. We have to be able to admit that. In open ice, when you see a hit like that or a trip or a slew foot, whatever you want to call it, and then the result is that the puck goes in the back of your net. I mean, I knew right away this was going to be the lead story post-game. It would be the lead story for the next 2 days before we get to game six. So it was a bad no call. You know, there's been other ones, obviously, throughout the course of this series. There's been bad non-calls throughout the course of the playoffs. Every team has a complaint. We're talking about human beings who are officiating these games. Have they had a tough playoff? They absolutely have. Should they have made that call? You could probably make the case. I mean, could you guys imagine if that went against St. Louis, what we'd be talking about today, right? So you can't just dismiss it and just focus on the saves made by Jordan Binnington and act like it's no big deal. Listen, that was a big turning point in the course of a hockey game because the play would have stopped. And who knows how that game would have finished out if a call was made. So was it a bad missed call? It absolutely was, but that's exactly what it was. It was a missed call, and both teams will move on from it.
Strick, Cassidy intimated that Berube's post-game three comments about penalties being called in the Blues, and at the time he alluded to how they were the least penalized team up until that point in the postseason, making the point that that has heavily influenced officiating since then. Now, coincidentally, the Blues have won both games since Game 3. But do you think Cassidy has a point? Did Berube's comments after Game 3, has that had an impact on how 4 and 5 were called?
You know, it's possible, Brian. I mean, really, it's tough for me to get into the head of the officials to know how it impacted them. Usually they don't like being called out, which it'll be interesting to see how the officials react to Boston in terms of, I mean, when their head coach is saying that it's a black eye for the National Hockey League and calling out the officials and calling the call, you know, egregious. I mean, like those are fighting words with the officials. Normally you want to stay out of that. You know, I think what Craig Berube said was a lot more mellow, a lot more contained. And he said, listen, we were the least penalized team coming into the final. And he doesn't agree with all the calls. And now they're spending a lot of time in the box. You know, I mean, so he made his comment. I don't imagine that the officials like that too much either. But we see this in every sport, guys, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, and obviously here in hockey. It's not the first time, not the last time that an official is going to try to, you know, work some leverage there in a press conference. And no better way to do it than the Stanley Cup final when everybody's watching the round-the-clock coverage. And, you know, the press conference and these type of sound bites are going to be repeated over and over and over the course of the next 48 hours. We've already heard them, you know, 100 times already from Cassidy, you know, from what he said in postgame yesterday. So, I mean, it is what it is. How much impact it has, I'm not exactly sure. How much impact Cassidy's comments from last night will have moving forward, you know, who knows. But obviously he didn't like it, and I can guarantee you, though, that the officials won't like exactly what he said. The officials never like to be shown up. I thought last night he tried to show them up. That's usually a bad sign in a road you don't want to go down if you're a head coach.
We're talking with Andy Strickland, and I think it's obvious over the course of this run that one of the Blues' real strengths is their overall depth. When you see defensemen like Bortuzzo, Edmondson, Dunn when he was hurt and then coming back, replacing each other and getting positive minutes, and the same with Fabry early, and now Zach Sanford. I mean, here's a guy, whether you want to call him the Blues' 13th forward, and he plays three games against Winnipeg, sits out the second round, third round, comes back after the Sundquist suspension, and he has three assists in the last three games. I mean, to bring a guy like that, basically, you know, from the Black Aces, who's not playing, to have an impact on the Stanley Cup final immediately, that shows a lot about how deep the Blues are overall.
Yeah, and to be fair, he wasn't a Black Ace. I mean, he's been with the team.
Right, but I mean, one of the guys who was practicing.
Yeah, he was practicing, but I mean, that's just, you know, listen, you got to stay ready. This guy was a fixture in the lineup down the stretch during the course of the regular season too, so it wasn't like he wasn't playing. You know, he had a bad game in game one against Winnipeg, followed that up with two just okay games, and they took him out. They made a change. You know, if Mackenzie McEachran finds his way in the lineup, which I'm not exactly sure where they're going to go if Barbashev gets suspended for a game, and I would imagine that's where we're headed. I mean, all you have to do is read the tweet. Whenever they say a player is going to have a hearing because of a hit to the head, we all know he's going to be suspended, most likely, for at least a game. So they're not going to have Barbashev, and we can talk about that here in a minute in terms of how that impacts the Blues moving forward. But I couldn't be happier for Zach Sanford. Listen, we know everything that he went through this year with his father passing away in training camp. But don't forget last year he got hurt in the very first day of training camp and missed most of last season, almost the entire year. I don't think he played an NHL game last year. Played some games down the stretch in the American Hockey League, but was never really fully recovered from having that, you know, reconstructive shoulder surgery. So, I mean, he's had some serious adversity that he's had to deal with. His first year pro, he gets traded from Washington to St. Louis. So that obviously is new. The team that drafts him all of a sudden moves him to a new organization. You never know how you're going to fit in. So that adjustment is never easy for a young hockey player either. But I've always said this about Zach Sanford, is that he has underrated skill. There's a reason why he was drafted high, went in the second round of the Washington Capitals. You look at his size. I love the fact that Craig Berube has used the word heavy to describe him. Most people probably wouldn't use that word, especially after, you know, how they saw him get pushed around a little bit in the Winnipeg series. But now all of a sudden he's getting in on the forecheck. We've seen him lay some devastating hits, guys. I mean, both behind, you know, below the goal line, also along the wall there. He got McAvoy really good, I believe, in game four right in front of their bench. I mean, a heavy, heavy hit. And now when he gets the puck on his stick, he's making plays. I mean, his assist last night to Ryan O'Reilly, it was an unbelievable pass, a great finish as well. But these guys have a little bit of chemistry. You know, he had a four-game scoring streak early in the year. Then he had a five-gamer, scoring in five consecutive games, three goals among those, you know, in that five-game stretch, playing with O'Reilly, playing with David Perron. And so they had a little bit of chemistry. But it just goes to show you, when you have an offensive player who can skate, because he really can't skate, he brings some speed to the lineup, certainly a quicker player than Sammy Blais, so that move has obviously worked, sliding Blais down, and then giving O'Reilly somebody who can make plays with the puck to play with, and now it's elevated the play of Ryan O'Reilly, who's been in midseason form over the course of the last two games. I mean, he's just had a huge impact on this roster, so you got to feel good about what Zach Sanford has done. And I think it's opened up a lot of eyes in terms of his future and what type of player the Blues have in the organization moving forward.
Andy, you mentioned in a tweet recently here in the last hour about Cam Neely, Jeremy Jacobs and their influence, and also this hearing for Barbashev. Can you just expand on that a little bit and what you see?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not surprised that Barbashev's going to have the hearing. Listen, Jeremy Jacobs, anybody who's followed the National Hockey League and has followed the recent lockouts that they've had very closely, I mean, he's always front and center and the face of the NHL owners, and he does have a lot of influence with the league. I don't want to sit here and say that's the reason why Barbashev is having a hearing, but when you know, when you miss a call like that that results in a goal and it's on national television, it's the Stanley Cup final, and that's all you're going to hear about. I mean, the league, I'm not going to sit here and say that they're going to try to make one up for Boston, but at the same time, they may try to make one up for the Boston Bruins. So, when you have Cam Neely kind of having a meltdown on national television, the optics there suggest that they got screwed. He's obviously a big name. The Boston Bruins are a big name. They're a brand franchise in the National Hockey League. They've won cups. And obviously, you know, a team with a lot of presence throughout the NHL and an owner, like I said, who's the face of NHL owners and certainly has a lot of influence. Whether or not, you know, Barbashev deserves to be suspended or not, you can go either way with that. It probably did have some head contact there. You hate to see a player get suspended in a game six of a Stanley Cup final. I mean, Barbashev's been their heaviest player here in this series. He leads all players in hits. I think he has 27 hits in the final. He had six hits last night. You know, he and Sundqvist pretty much lead the charge in terms of the heavy game, along with Braden Schenn. Schenn also had six hits in last night's game. But this is going to have a similar impact to the Blues roster that we saw when Oscar Sundqvist didn't play, because those two guys have amazing chemistry. You look at the fourth line. For me, it starts with Sundqvist and Barbashev. You know, Steen is an easy player to adapt to, been around for a long time, knows how to play time and score, understands when to change, getting fresh bodies out there. He's a smart player, great influence for those guys. But it's Barbashev and Sundqvist that drive the bus for me on that line. They've got great chemistry on the PK as well, so now it's going to disrupt some of your PK rotations like we saw when Sundqvist didn't play. So this is going to be a bigger adjustment than I think people on the outside of St. Louis, who haven't watched this team as closely as we have, obviously, realize, because he's been a real important player. Plus, they make plays. They play in the offensive end as much as any other line the Blues have. So this is going to be costly for the Blues, and they're going to have to try to find a way to win without a guy who's been one of the most consistent players throughout the entire playoffs.
Do you think the Blues get it done Sunday night, and what kind of an atmosphere should we expect at Enterprise Center?
Well, I think you know what kind of atmosphere to expect. I mean, it's going to be historic. It's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. And we saw that a couple of nights ago, Game 4, Game 3, obviously, of the Stanley Cup Final was electric. It was crazy. I mean, it was just an unbelievable, unreal, surreal environment that, you know, people in St. Louis have been dreaming about for decades and decades. I mean, there's an entire generation of fans who have never witnessed a Stanley Cup Final, and now they have an opportunity to play on home ice and to win the Stanley Cup at the Enterprise Center is a dream come true for a lot of people and a lot of people inside the organization too. So, you know, it's all about managing your emotions. They're going to have to do a much better job of doing that than they did in Game 3. But if you look at the way the Blues have performed in the playoffs at home and clinching games, they've won each round on home ice, and they've been able to step up and perform when the stakes are at their highest. And, you know, when they need to come to play and obviously have an opportunity to do something special. And I would expect nothing less, guys. You know, on Sunday, nothing else is going to change. You're not going to have one of your better players in Barbashev. That is going to hurt. And it's going to take some serious adjustment from that standpoint in terms of how they play without him. But I just don't see the Blues allowing this to slip away. There's going to be so much emotion and energy in the building. Obviously, the Blues are going to feed off of that. Boston isn't going to lay down. But I would be really, really surprised if the Blues don't find a way to finish this off on home ice on Sunday.
That would be awesome. Strick, appreciate the time as always, sir. Enjoy the game Sunday. I'll see you.
All right, guys. Anytime. Take care. And right. Hockey Sense later on today, by the way.
Who you got?
4 o'clock at Schneiderhorst. Chris Pronger will join me. But also,
nice.
Cal O'Reilly, who has been an NHL player, still playing professional hockey, the brother of Brian O'Reilly. He'll also be joining me later on this afternoon. Really, really good guy. Look forward to the interview. We may play a little bit more for people who didn't hear Patrick Berglund on last week's show. We may dive into that a little bit. But Cal O'Reilly, look forward to that conversation with Ryan O'Reilly's big brother.
Awesome. Thank you very much, sir. Hockey Sense coming up. Andy Strickland joining us.
I forgot it's
He'll
Friday.
Be there.
All this going on, and you mentioned, oh, yes, it's Friday.
What's
Hockey
the thing
Sense,
is,
we
is
got, days, we got 590 baseball. We got all kinds of stuff going
right,
on.
Right, but, like, the days aren't normal anymore. It's more like, is it game three? Is it game four? Is it an off day? Is it a travel day? This last 2 months, it's just been, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday don't exist. Is it Blues game? Is it an off day? That's kind of how
it
we
occurred
live
to me
lives.
Last night. We're dog sitting. I was walking my parents' dog, and I'm like, oh, God, tomorrow's Friday. I'm losing track of
which means nothing though.
I know.
Because Sunday is the only thing that matters right now.
Right.
And I gotta go though, because I have to head to the airport right now for Fox 2 to meet the players coming back. They always want to see me right
you're
when
so
they
lucky.
Right when they come back.
Biggest win of the year, biggest win in Blues history, and there's Charlie Marlowe.
Listen, it's important that you ask them about last night's game when they also come back to St. Louis, okay?
It's pran building for you.
Building the pran. So Jim Huhr, Brian Hoffman, the Plowboy. Got you taken care of.
Are you going to make, like, it's trip jokes? Like, how was your trip?
That's actually pretty good. I'll tell you what. Tune into Fox 2 later tonight, and you'll see all that beautiful sound from the airport I'll be getting right now. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.